Welcome. We are so glad you're joining us. This sermon was recorded live at Cornerstone Church in Cheshire. We hope you enjoy the sermon.
It's cool to see what God is doing just throughout the kingdom and all across America. I thought I'd share just one little thing from my church, which again, you've heard that we're in North Carolina. I don't think it was specifically said, we're in Wilmington, North Carolina, which is on the coast. So I live at the beach. And when the Lord said, whom shall I send to the beach to do ministry for me? I said, Lord, send me, right? I'm willing to sacrifice for you, Lord, whatever it takes, whatever it takes. So it's a tough job. Somebody's got to do it. But God has been so good to us. I just want to celebrate this milestone with you. This is the first time this is celebrated publicly, by the way. So this happened last Sunday as we crossed over a threshold at our church. And we count a lot of things. And some people would say, well, are you all about numbers? No, we're not. But we count numbers because numbers are people and people count. So we're going to count things. And one of the things we count is how many people each week say yes to a relationship with Jesus. Last Sunday, we crossed over a threshold of 1,000 people year to date have raised their hand to say yes to a relationship. Listen, that's amazing. It's amazing. Praise the Lord. God is better to us than we deserve. One of the reasons I tell you that number is because I look at those things and I look at what God's doing in your church and I look at what God is doing in mine and I use that for encouragement. I don't know how you guys are, but sometimes the world's full of enough critics. We need a few cheerleaders in life. You know what I'm saying? And I will look to God's movement in the kingdom and in churches as just encouragement because it helps me reframe my perspective. It helps me see what God is actually doing. And life has a tendency of robbing us of perspective, doesn't it? It has a tendency of just kind of letting it leak out. And sometimes something large may happen in life and it seems to just rip it out. And it makes us ask the question, can I just get through what I'm going through? I look to God's activity to help give me perspective. There's another couple of things that I look to help give me perspective. One is my family. I actually brought a picture for you of something that sits on my desk. It's a picture, this picture, that sits on my desk, and it's of my wife and my two daughters. Now, I'll go through them really quick. My wife is in the middle, and her name's Melissa. She's amazing. We've been married for 28 years. And then below her is my oldest, Shelby. She's 23. She's works at our church, leading our young adults. She's awesome. And then our youngest is above her. That's Sydney. She's actually going to be here at the final service. She traveled with me, and when I told her there were four services at church, she was like, four? I'll see you at the last one, all right? So she's going to be here for the last one. But and then in the middle is Aspen. That's our 9-year-old dog. And let me just say to you guys, don't tell my children, but she may be our favorite, right? She never asks for money, and she's always happy when we come home. And so we love Aspen so much. But my family has this thing where just seeing that picture sometimes, it brings me perspective. And the reason that I talk about those couple of things and the reason I'm going to talk about a third thing that brings me perspective in just a few minutes is because the reality is perspective changes everything. I don't know if you ever thought about it, but the way that we see things is the way that we see things. The lens that we see through, it has a way of shaping and changing in us the way that we view life. And a little perspective, good or bad, can go a long way. And if I'm being honest, a lot of times the things that skew our perspective, while sometimes they're heavy and they're real, and maybe you're walking through a season of something like that now, but most of the time, the things that like skew our perspective are what I would call first world problems. They're not real problems. It's saying, you know what? I can only sleep when the thermostat is set on 70 degrees. And some fool comes along and puts it on 71, and I've been up all night sweating, and that they're the reason why. Just ruins our week, right? Or maybe for you, you're taking a selfie and you've like crafted everything and you've made everything look good about you. You got a cute outfit on, fellas, you know, like you're just ready. And you frame everything up for this selfie and you take it and you post it. The caption's perfect. You ran it through ChatGPT first to make sure. And crickets. No likes, no comments. Your mama didn't even share it. Like nothing, just the first one, it just wrecks the day. You go to the grocery store and you're just so blessed that you buy groceries for your family and you get home and it's hot outside because it's the summer and you're taking groceries in and none of the ungrateful kids came out to help you. And now instead of one trip out to bring groceries in, you had to make two. Ruin the day. Or the worst. Guys, this is really for you. You go to the restroom and you forget to take your phone. What are you going to do? And if any of the guys said amen to that, do not borrow their phone. Right? They're just first world problems. And they can rob us. They can just like make perspective leak, or they can make it in an instant leave. Well, I look to my family. I look to God's activity to help restore perspective. But there's another place that I look, and that is to God's word. And so I want to read a few verses today. And really, they're verses that all come from the life and the pen of one individual in Scripture. For those of you who've been around church for a while, you may recognize him. His name is Paul. And Paul wrote extensively on how to overcome in an overwhelming world. How to have perspective that was a God-focused perspective, even when life tried to do everything to rob you of it and rid you of it. And Paul writes to churches just like us, and he wrote to a church in a city called Colossae. I want to read you the letter that he wrote from, but it's the book of Colossians. If you're newer to Scripture, you can find it. It's in the New Testament. If not, we'll have it on the screen. But in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, listen to what Paul wrote. He says, since then, you have been raised with Christ. What does that mean? It means that he's speaking to Christians. He's talking to people who have already put their faith and their hope and their trust in the person, the sacrifice, and the resurrection of Jesus. Their lives have been transformed, and because of that, they're different. He says, hey, because you're different, here's what I want you to do. Since you've been raised with Christ, listen to this, and if you write in your Bible like I do, you can underline these words. Set your heart on things above. Set your heart, set your perspective on things above, on heaven. Set your heart on what God has already done. Now the heart, when I think of that, I think of my feelings. I'm kind of a feeler. And he says, if you're a feeler, don't let your feelings be robbed by lack of perspective. Instead, set your feelings on the things above. And here's why. He says, because that is where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Sometimes when you look at your life and things happen and it robs you of perspective and you just go, God, where are you? Paul's telling you. He's seated at the right hand of God. You want to have a perspective larger than what life is throwing at you? Set your heart on things above, because that is where Christ is. And then he goes on and he says, for some of you guys who are not feelers, maybe you're more a logical person. Verse 2, set your minds on things above, not just your hearts, but also your minds on things above. And then he says this, not on earthly things. Essentially what Paul is saying is you have a choice. You have a choice as a believer that when challenges come, that you can face those challenges with a heavenly perspective or with an earthly perspective. You can set your mind on things above, or you can default to where everybody else sets their minds, where everybody else sets their feelings, where everybody else gets logical and gets tactical and gets in their feels on an earthly perspective. He says, but for those of you who follow Jesus, you have an opportunity to have a different perspective. Just a couple of thoughts with this is, one, that a heavenly perspective, it focuses on the blessing. Heavenly perspective has a way of focusing on how blessed we are, regardless of our circumstances. I mentioned that my daughter traveled with me this week, and yesterday we came in actually a couple of days early, and we spent a couple of days in New York City. She had never been, and we were just kind of hanging out in the city. And we drove in yesterday, but right before we left, I don't know if you followed the news, if you saw the weather, but all of the rain in America gathered together, and it heard that Kevin was in New York, and it just dumped all of the rain in New York. And in the moment where the bottom fell out, we were at Rockefeller Center, and we had to make our final walk. We had dreamt this up. We're gonna have this final walk through the streets. We're gonna walk all the way back to where we were staying around the Empire State Building. And it's gonna be beautiful, and it's gonna be a memory maker. And we walk out of Rockefeller Center, and it was, as we say in the South, raining cats and dogs. I don't even like cats. I think that's what was hitting me. And I looked at Sydney, and Sydney looked at me, and we said, well, let's make a great story. And we went for it. Thank goodness we got out of there before the flooding happened. But you know, an earthly perspective would just sit there and go, man, this ruined our memory. This ruined our moment. I wish I could tell you that I were spiritual enough most of the time to have a heavenly perspective, because if I have that perspective throughout the rest of my life, it would be the way it was yesterday. I would say, hey, it's gonna make for a great story one day. Because a heavenly perspective focuses on the blessing. But conversely, an earthly perspective, when our view is not up here, but it's down here, an earthly perspective focuses on the burden. It focuses on the burden. We're going through the same situations that so many people are walking through, but when we focus on the earthly perspective, we just think about how much life isn't fair, how our circumstances aren't fair. When my girls were young, they used to tell me, Dad, it's not fair. And I would tell them something that they can echo back to me today. Girls, fairness ended in the Garden of Eden, and you ain't getting any from me. Fairness isn't a reality. An earthly perspective focuses on the burden, but the reason we set our minds, the reason we set our hearts on things above is because it reframes the fact that we are blessed. Have you ever noticed how most of the time burdens and blessings are almost like two sides of the same coin? That most of the time, you can't actually get one without having the other. My wife and I, not too long ago, decided to try something it's been a health kind of fad or craze for several years now. But I'm a CrossFitter, and I don't know if you guys know this, but people who do CrossFit, some of them are crazy. And they get into these like health fads, and there was one of them that said that if you will lower your body into freezing cold water, that it's actually good for you. That if you'll make your entire living experience miserable, it's good for your health. It's a cold plunge. Maybe some of you do it. Maybe some of you can come up for prayer later and we'll ask God would deliver you from that. I don't know. But we decided we're gonna do cold plunge. We heard it's good. I need all the help I can get being healthy. I'm almost 50, and so I need to make some changes and get as healthy as I can. So we went to a friend's house and we decided we're gonna do a cold plunge. And so my wife, she actually went first. I thought I'd bring a picture and show you how she was. Now, she's happy. Y'all, that water is cold. Like, I'm just gonna tell y'all right now, I am not held responsible for the things that I said when I got in that water. It might keep me out of heaven one day, but I'm not gonna be held responsible for it. But she was happy. When I look at that picture, you know what I think of? I think of a person with a heavenly perspective. They're just focused on the blessing. They're here for the good time. And then I got in. That's what happened when I got in. Your boy did not like it. And when I see that picture, I think of somebody that's focused, not up here, but they're focused down here. They're not focused on the blessing. They're focused on the burden. And when you put those two pictures side by side, what I think you see is the difference between a heavenly perspective and an earthly perspective. You can nudge your spouse right now and tell them which one they are. No, don't do that. But it's the difference. Here's the deal, is that every blessing comes with an equally overwhelming burden. Every one of them. The question is, what are you gonna spend your time focused on? Which perspective are you gonna take when those things happen? When life happens, are you gonna have a heavenly perspective? Set my heart and mind on things above, or an earthly perspective? My heart and mind are focused on the things that I can control. Every blessing comes with a burden. Think about it practically. Parents, the Bible tells us that children are a blessing from the Lord, but reality tells us that children can be challenging too. Like, we know that little humans, and then not so little humans, sometimes they can not have respect, they can kind of get out of control. And we just have to understand that what doesn't kill you wakes you up in the middle of the night and demands to watch Bluey while it eats breakfast, right? Like, it's tough. Parenting is tough. Being a homeowner is tough. It's a blessing to own a home, but it's a burden to have to fix things when they break. Being a college student, it is a blessing to further your education and strive for greatness, but it is a burden to have to do schoolwork and write papers. Having a job is a blessing that God has given us, but the burden is that we have a boss. Being married, very practically, there is a blessing that comes when we are married, but there is a burden of learning to live with somebody who is the opposite of you. When you're dating, I mean, think about it, when you're dating, you're just thinking, oh, isn't it awesome? We're going to get to spend all day, every day together. Everybody laughing's been married for more than 2 years. Because when you've been married for more than 2 years, you wake up in the morning going, I got to spend all day, every day with you. It's a burden. It's a blessing. Owning a business. The blessing is you get to own a business. The burden is you get to own a business. It's a challenge. Life is filled with that. The burden oftentimes will blind us to the blessing. Several years ago, I had an opportunity to go on a missions trip with Compassion International. They're ministry partners of ours at my church, and I was able to go to Kenya. And we visited several sites at Kenya where we sponsor children, where my family and I actually personally sponsor a child, and where our church partners with that. You can see me there with some of the locals. And near the end of our trip, we ended up going out into the bush. We just ended up going out into what's not developed. And there are families, like the family that you see represented in the picture here, who live out in that area. And they live in mud huts, quite literally. And it's not just mud, but we helped fashion some of these huts and repair them. It's made of mud. It's made of dung. Anything that they can get to kind of like almost serve as brick or mortar on a building, they'll use for these homes. And on the last day that we were there, we had done work. I was tired. I was ready to get back to my family and my country and all those things. And on the last day, they were giving out some final stuff, and one of the workers from Compassion looked at me and handed me two plastic shopping bags, like Walmart bags, and said, will you take this to that hut right over there? And so I take the bags, and I just said, sure, and I'm just delivering bags. In my mind, I'm going to be like a Kenyan Uber Eats. I'm dropping them at the curb, and I'm out, right? Well, when I get there, this family walks out. A few of them are represented in the picture. And all of these people that lived around them had kind of gathered around me. It was this odd, like, hero's welcome. And all I'm doing is holding a couple of plastic bags that was filled with nothing more than just what we would consider staple items in our pantry. Flour and some grain, some rice. And as I'm walking up, the translator tells me, what you're carrying to them is actually going to sustain the family for the next 3 months. And I'm looking at this large family. Just a couple of them are represented in the picture. And so when I go, I reach out to hand them the bags, and the mom who you see on the far end of the picture says, no, no, and waves me in the house. And I look at the translator like, I'm good. And he says, no, it's honorable to go in. It would dishonor them not to. So I walk up to this hut, and understand these huts, I'm 6'1". These huts are not 6 foot. And so I duck to go in, and the entire time I'm in, I'm crouched over. I'm still holding my plastic bags, and I'm walking in darkness. There's no light in these huts. And I'm following this mom as she's just weaving through this maze of halls and rooms, and I can't quite make out what I'm looking at. All I know in my mind is I'm ready to get out of there. Because the further that we go back, what started as darkness, as we're making our way towards their, what I learned to be their kitchen, I noticed that the walls and the ceiling and the floor starts to go from a natural color to covered in soot and blackness. And when I get to the kitchen, I realize that the reason why is because they cook their meals over an open flame. And all of that residue just covers the inside of their hut. And so I walk back there. The entire family is ready to meet me. And I just stick the bags out like, here, please take them. Because at this point, I'm holding my breath. I'm just sort of ready to go. There were other odors in there that you can imagine. And I'm here to serve this family, but I have to be totally honest with you. And I confess this, I don't brag on it, that my perspective of serving went from a heavenly to an earthly really quick. And so I gave this family what I was there to give them. And the translator said, they would like to pray for you. And I looked at him, and in my mind, I thought, I'm good. I'm prayed up. But I said, okay. And they laid their hands on me, and they started to pray in a language I didn't understand. And something in me started to shift while they were praying. I don't know if you ever had this. If you've been in church for a minute, maybe this is your first time. And just being in service today, maybe during the music, something in you just started to shift a little bit. Maybe what you're walking through seemed a little less heavy. Maybe the thing that you've been carrying for a while in secret, it felt like maybe you're not so alone. For me, in that moment, something just started to change. Looking back on it now, I realized that God was sort of lifting my focus from the burden of where I was into seeing the blessing of what he was doing. And they finished praying, and the little girl took those beads that were around her neck. And because I'm crouched over, she took those beads and she put them around my neck. And I'm thinking, no, I'm good. I'm good. And the translator said, they prepared these for you. It's their honor to give them to you. And then another sister came up and gave me this other necklace. And then the mom took that red sash thing that she was wearing, undid it, and put it around me. And all of a sudden, I wanted to get out of there. Not because I didn't want to breathe their air, and not because I didn't want to be around them, but because your boy couldn't hold it together anymore. And I knew God was doing something in me, and I just didn't want him to see me cry. And I got out of there, and I remember walking out and taking a big breath, standing up straight, and just thinking, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness and for your grace. A heavenly perspective will focus you on what God is doing in you and what God wants to do through you. He did it with Paul, and he does it with you. Yeah, amen, amen. Amen. Let's look at a couple more verses together. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul is again writing to a church. And he's writing to a church that's pretty well established. And he writes this about walking through seasons where we can have this perspective or an earthly perspective. And he says this, for our light and momentary troubles. That's very interesting that Paul, that if you know much about Paul, you know that nothing that he went through was either light or momentary. He says, for those troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. He says, when you're facing difficulties and challenges, what's actually happening is God is moving in you. And then in verse 18, he says, because of that, here's what we do. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, not on what we can make sense of, not on the diagnosis that was given to us. We don't fix our eyes on that. He says, instead, we fix our eyes on what is unseen, because what is seen is temporary. It might be real, but it's temporal. He says, but what is unseen is eternal. Paul's interesting. He says, my light and my momentary troubles. Like I think about Paul talking about his light and momentary troubles. Like, what does that mean? In chapter 4, verse 8, if you skip up just a little bit, you'll see a little bit of what he's talking about. He says, we are hard pressed on every side. Paul was facing pressure, but we're not crushed. We face something temporary, but I've got my eyes fixed on what is unseen. We're perplexed, that's temporary, but we're not in despair because I'm focused on what's unseen. He says, we're persecuted, that's temporary. It's earthly, but I've got my eyes focused on the eternal, so I'm not abandoned. I'm struck down, that's real, that's today, but guess what? I'm not destroyed in Jesus' name. And what Paul is saying to us is that whether you face hardships, whether you face first world problems, or whether you face something very real in your life, when your focus is on the eternal, when your heavenly perspective is what drives you, you realize God is in control. And when God is in control, guess what? Everything is under control. Everything's under control. In Acts chapter 16, we'll fast forward just a little bit. Paul and his ministry partner Silas are arrested. They're arrested because they're talking about Jesus and they won't stop. And Paul, this is Paul's MO, is Paul is constantly talking about and professing Jesus. They can't shut him down. They can't shut him up. So instead, they just arrest him. And listen to what happens when they arrest Paul and Silas in Acts 16. It says, after they had been severely flogged, for some reason, I think that's kind of funny to me. Like, this wasn't just an everyday flogging. This was a severe flogging. I don't know why that's one of those like humorous things in the Bible to me. It says, it was not a normal day, but a severe flogging. They were thrown into prison. And the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. What that means is they took them to like the very back lower end of the prison and they put them in chains. And then verse 25, at about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God and the other prisoners were listening to them. I don't know what your response is when you go through challenges. Mine is not singing and praising, if I'm being honest. Most of the time, it's complaining, and it's trying to control the situation and figure it out on my own. I wish I were more spiritual than that. But my truth of it is that sometimes having a worship night like these guys did is the last thing on my mind. But what we see is that they didn't panic. They didn't freak out. What they did is they turned their focus towards what their perspective was on the unseen. And then listen to what happens. It says the other prisoners listened to them. And then in verse 26, that there was a violent earthquake that shook the foundations of the prison. And at once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains fell off. A couple of things to notice about this. The one that I want you to see more than anything is that if you're walking through a season, when you put your focus on the heavenly, when you say, God, I can't see the solution right now, but I am trusting in the unseen. I am not focused on the earthly. I'm focused on the heavenly. Not only does it give you a unique grace in your season to get through what you're going through, but the other thing that it does is exactly what it did for everyone else in that prison. Because if you notice, it wasn't just Paul and Silas's chains that fell off. It says that when God moved, everyone got set free. Dad, you're leading your family. Your family is watching your response to situations in your life. The way that you react to things that make you uncomfortable, it will either shackle or it will set free the rest of your family. Kids in school, you are a leader in your school. When you sit at your table, when you sit in your classroom, the way that you conduct yourself and carry yourself, you are leading people to a place where they view Jesus as a bastion of freedom or whether they view him as just a bunch of rules. Everywhere that we go, we have the opportunity to change not just the dynamic within us, but the dynamic around us by living lives focused on the unseen, which is eternal, instead of the scene, which is temporary. Several years ago, when my girls were young, we took them, as most Southerners do, to the county fair. That's what you do in the South. You go to the county fair. Jeff Foxworthy said, if you ever think that your family is crazy, just go to the county fair for 5 minutes and you'll think you're dang near royalty, right? There's some crazies at the fair. But we would go and it was amazing. And this one particular year, it was kind of the first year that my youngest was able to sort of understand the enormity of what was going on and have a good time and ride all the rides. And we walk into the fair and I'm holding her hands. And as we walk in, I'm seeing everything. I'm seeing the Ferris wheel and the slides and the lights and the funnel cake that I'm gonna eat when my wife isn't looking. I'm seeing everything, right? And I walk in just thinking, this is gonna be the best time. We're gonna make so many memories with our children. And I start talking to Sydney and I said, Sid, isn't this awesome? And I hear Sydney say, what does it look like, Dad? And I look down and I remember looking back up and looking down a couple times and it clicked that Sydney's view is kneecaps. I'm seeing all this. But all she sees is down here. And so I reached down and I took Sydney and I picked her up and I set her down on my shoulders. And I will always remember, it's one of the memories as a parent that I carry in my heart, is I remember the sound that she made. Oh, wow. And then she starts talking. There's the Ferris wheel. There's the slides. There's the funnel cake we're not gonna tell mom about. Oh, and she's overwhelmed because her perspective shifted. I can't prove this. It's not in the Bible. Or maybe we'll say it this way. It's in the book of 1 Kevin chapter 3. Let's just say it that way. But I have this thought that when we get to heaven, that the prevailing sound that we hear may not be worship. But I think what for some of us, the prevailing sound that we hear might be is, Oh, God, that's what you were doing. Oh, that circumstance you took me through, God, that's what you were up to. Oh, Lord, when you did that in my family, that's what was actually happening. God, when I got that diagnosis, that's what you used that for. When that contract fell through that I'd been working on for a year, God, that's what you were protecting me from. God, when our finances tanked because the market took a hit, God, that's what you were doing. Lord, oh, thank you, Lord. What would life look like on this side of eternity if instead of having to wait till heaven, every day we just woke up and said, God, you know what I'm going through. And would you just lift me up? And would you just set me securely on your shoulders? And would you let me see things in the unseen, which is eternal, instead of the seen, which is temporary? May we fix our hearts. May we fix our minds on a heavenly perspective. Because what God is doing is, even those of you who are walking through real situations, and some of your circumstances are not first world at all. They're deep, and they hit home, and they're hard. And for some of you, you've been carrying them for a long time. And what I believe the Lord wants to tell you today is that you're not alone. But the lens that you choose to see it through is oftentimes the lens that will guide the way that you live. And I think what the Lord would love to do over the next few minutes is just do a little bit of ministry right there where you are. So if we could, would you just bow your heads and close your eyes? And today, if you came in the room and you're just walking through a situation that's heavy, for you, the perspective is, it's kneecaps. You're struggling to see beyond it. You're struggling to see above it. It's very real. If you're just walking through that season and you're here today and you say, God, I need a shift in perspective. God, help me before I leave here to see things the way you're moving, not just the way that I can control it. If that's you today, would you just lift your hand up? No one's looking around. I just want to know who to pray for. It's good. It's good. And now you can shift your hand that's raised. And I would encourage you to just kind of open your palms towards heaven. Just open your hands up towards heaven. Just receive a heavenly perspective today. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you move in the unseen. Thank you, God, that you move in the things that oftentimes it's the last thing, unfortunately, that we may look at. But God, today, we just receive your perspective. We have open hands right now, and God, that is to both release and receive. Jesus, we release that thing that we're carrying so close to our heart, that thing that we're carrying in secret that nobody realizes is stressing us out or exhausting us. We release it to you, Jesus, and we receive peace from on high. God, we receive a unique grace in this season. God, we receive your mercy. We receive your power. We receive your deliverance. We receive every good and perfect gift from above to walk through what we're walking through. And Lord, we fix our eyes, we fix our hearts, and we fix our minds on what is unseen. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for watching and listening. Please consider sharing with a friend. Visit us at cornerstonecheshire.com to find out more about our community. Let's learn to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference together.